Again, we're thankful tonight to be able to gather and to worship the Lord, and it just feels appropriate that we give way to the preaching of the gospel tonight. And I hope, as always, when you come into the house of the Lord, you realize how serious of a thing it is to listen to the word of the Lord. We will be held responsible for what we hear and respond to. I don't know what Brother Alex has upon his heart, and I don't want to try and steer him any direction. But I will say tonight, if you're here and you're lost, you're in a very dangerous place. Because these very words you hear tonight may be repeated at the judgment. Sometimes that's why the gospel is sent places, is that God might hold people accountable for the things that they know and the things that they have heard. I don't say that to scare you tonight. I just say that as a matter of fact. We as God's people, as we hear the word tonight, I pray that we would respond to what's said tonight. As I've already mentioned, Brother Alex and his wife Kelsey and their four children have moved down to Belize, and he's pastor at Rio Blanco Missionary Baptist Church. He has a number of men here tonight that have moved down there or are helping him in that work, both native and non-natives and indigenous people down there. And so I know he desired interest in your prayers. I ask you to pray for him both tonight, but especially as he goes back to Belize and preaches the gospel to those people. And so with that, I want to ask Brother Alex to come and give way to the message tonight.
Good evening. You know, many have come around and asked me, are you excited? I'm excited about my Lord and Savior. But as Brother Swindle said today, I've cried some tears of terror. I come here tonight not with words of man's wisdom. I don't come here tonight to show you what I've learned. That's not what we need. You can learn this whole book, but without him, it's nothing. You know, Brother Brad was speaking, and I've spoken many times at our church about how when we come into the house of the Lord, that our purpose here has nothing to do with our lives, has nothing to do with what we can get out of it, has everything to do about Christ. As I think and ponder about the children of Israel, many times they would go about and they would try to find ways that they could find measures that would benefit them and go after idols and things of worship and great gain of things in life. And yet, every time they would find out the way was Christ. Christ is all over the Old Testament. Amen. You know, we learned today about the shadows, the feasts that were shadows of Christ to come, and yet Christ is the perfect shadow of those things. He came and he perfected everything that was in the Old Testament. There was a Feast of Tabernacles. When this message that the Lord gave me tonight, He put it on my heart many months ago, and I didn't know where it was for or what it was for, and I still don't understand it fully. I don't understand it all completely. Scattered in my mind. There's one feast of the Feast of Tabernacles. And as I was sitting there thinking and thinking about what Brad was speaking of saying how the things of this life, we can see them and touch them and feel them, and it gives us pleasure and gives us joy and all of these things. And the Holy Spirit is something that we cannot visibly see. And I think about the children of Israel. They couldn't physically see, and they didn't even know about the crucifixion the way that we do. The way that we see the things that we see. The way that God is revealed unto us, not by flesh and blood, but by the Father that hath revealed unto us the spiritual things that discern in our hearts. When they would go with the Feast of Tabernacles, they would go, it was a 7-day, 8-day feast, and on the first day they would build these tents. You know what these tents or these booths were? These booths were a reminder of where they had came when they were in the wilderness. And so what they would do is they would forget about all the bountiful things that they have in life. They would forget about all those things that God had given them, that provided them in the promised land. And they would go and they would just worship God. And you know what they would say on the first day? There would be shouts of acclamation of Hosanna! Hosanna! They would proclaim. Oh, Hosanna. You know, that's a shout of acclamation, and many times we find it to be a joyful thing. But you know what? The derivative of that word in the Hebrew, it means, oh, save, we pray. Oh, save, we pray, Lord. Oh, please. They had everything. They had the promised land. They had all these things, and yet they would come and they would set aside this time. And on the first day and on the eighth day, they would say, Hosanna! And wave the palms and the myrtle branches and all the branches that they'd bring in. Why? Because they knew where their prosperity came from. They knew where the things that they were given came from. How often do we take for granted the things that are given unto us? Jesus came. In Matthew chapter 21, we find where he enters in his triumphant entry. Before that, before he came in on his triumphant entry, they mocked him and they asked him and said, you're a blasphemer and all these things, and how can you say that you can do all of these things? He had authority. He had authority from the one above. The Lord God Almighty was sending him. Hosanna. When the Lord gave me this message, I was in Belize. And I was walking to church. Walking across the soccer field, as many of you that have been there. Sometimes that's a great time to just think. Ponder on things. I wasn't much of a ponderer before I was called to preach. Everything was just fast. Go all the time. As I'm sitting there and I'm standing and I'm walking, there's these two little children and they're walking and they're running up the steps and they're singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. And the Lord just come over me. And he just said, Hosanna. I don't know what it was. I didn't understand it completely. But I hear the mouths of babes and the perfection of their praise. And they have no clue what they're singing. And yet they sing Hosanna in the highest. Oh, brothers and sisters. As Jesus came in his triumphant entry, and he came in and they start laying at his feet all the things. And before he came in, you know what he did? He looks as he comes down the Mount of Olives and he weeps over Israel. He weeps over them. He weeps over them because they did not know. And he tells them in the book of John, he says that you will know when I am lifted up, you will know then. And if we can just lift him up today, I'm telling you that sinners will know who we're proclaiming. They'll know who we're singing Hosanna to in the highest. They'll know. We don't have to help them. That's not our job. I want to see souls saved. That's the goal, right? I want to see those things. But if we don't have conviction in ourselves where we can set aside the things and come and worship God, heaven's great. The benefits of salvation are wonderful. All of those things are wonderful things to think about. As you get older, I hear from older and wiser people that you begin to think about heaven more because you're closer to it. But you know what? None of it would be possible. Not one iota of it would be possible without the sacrifice of the Son of God. None of it would be possible. We need to set aside. We need to set aside and just praise Him today. He said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, if I be lifted up, the Father will draw all men unto me. But we've got to lift him up. Tonight, I want to encourage you that if the Lord does place something on your heart, and if it's there to lift up the Son of God, that's what we're here for. Amen. We're not here to feel good. We're not here when we come into the doors in the house of the Lord. We're here to praise God. Praise God, my Savior, my Lord, today. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I don't have to worry about saving souls. I don't have to worry about that. All He desires from me is my broken sacrifices. All He desires from me is my praise and my call out to Him. In the 118th division of Psalm, I believe David knew about Jesus. I believe he did. I believe he knew who he was calling out to all the time. He knew, as Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Do you know today that He liveth inside of you? That He quickened your mortal soul that was inside of you? He quickened it and made it alive. A new creature. In Psalms 118, on the 19th verse, it reads, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which their righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refuse is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna. That's what he says next. It doesn't say that in our Bible, but he says, save now. I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The highest is God Almighty, that He came in the name of the Lord. And they said, Hosanna in the highest. And the children were in the temple and they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lord God Almighty, Hosanna. Save now. I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Anything that ever came from being prosperous, it flowed from God. That's where it came from. That's where it originates. Is anything good originates from Him? He created the world and He said it was very good. Isn't that right, Brother Jose? He said it was very good. And it was in His sight. And salvation is very good tonight. Why? Because it's through the blood of the Lamb. You know, they were in Revelations chapter 5. They're there. And they're looking for someone. They're searching for someone. In Revelation chapter 5, turn with me there. Revelation chapter 5, verse 2, beginning in verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read, and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal is thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under all the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." The 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Hosanna. Oh, save. Oh, save, we pray. That's what we pray, but we must mean it from our hearts, that we praise God with all that we have. Praise Him today. Lift up the Son of Man. Lift Him higher, higher. We sing that song, and many say, they look at it, and we do these funny gestures and movements and all these things in Belize that many might believe look silly. Oh, but sometimes we get in the spirit and we sing that song and we talk about, lift Jesus higher, higher. Oh, just lift Him higher. And you know what we do is Satan, we stomp him out. Send him lower, lower. And stomp that old devil. Stomp him. The devil is anything carnal that's in our mind. He uses all of those things to keep us from worshiping our Savior in spirit and in truth. You must have that in order to worship Him tonight. You must worship Him in spirit, in the right spirit. That's the thing. There's the spirit of error that can come upon you, that you can do something that you're not supposed to do. But if it's in the right manner, if it's in a manner of humility, if it's in a manner of need, if it's in a manner of need, not for our needs, but for the need of worshiping God, that our hearts will cry out, I'm thankful today that God hears the groanings of our hearts. I'm so thankful for that. As when I got nominated for this, I couldn't say a word in my prayer, but all I could do is cry tears. As we learned today, those tears can mean something. Oh, they can mean something. I'm grateful that there's times that the one, the mediator that can mediate between us, that he can just let the Lord know what is needed. But we need to come to the throne of God boldly, seeking grace and mercy upon our lives, and say, and maybe set aside this world. And on the first day you say, Hosanna in the highest. And on the last day you say, Hosanna in the highest, because he is worthy. Why? Because he laid down his life. That's why he's worthy. Because he walked upon this earth and he became flesh and he dwelt among us. He tabernacled over us is what he did, brothers and sisters. And he builds that tent over us and he protects us from all the things if we'd be willing to serve him and listen to him and follow him where he leads us. Oh, it may look dark sometimes, but he's the lamp that lights the path at my feet. He didn't say he lights the whole path ahead of me. He lights that lamp at my feet so I can clearly see the path as I go. Faith is the substance, is not something we can see. Faith is Let me just go to it. I learned something this week. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Like Brad said, we're not here for the feeling of what you feel when the sounds reverberate off these walls and it just shakes the inner bones of our bodies. And sometimes that can create an emotional feeling. We need to worship God because of the spirit that pushes us, that is behind us and says, go and worship me. Worship me because I desire that. That's what he desires tonight. He desires our sacrifices of brokenness. We want to see this nation change. We want to see souls saved. We want to see a salvation of our kindred and all that he said there in the book of Revelations. Worthy is the Lamb. Hosanna. That's who we need to look to tonight. Brothers and sisters, we need to look to Hosanna, the one, and say, Hosanna in the highest. Look to the Savior. Look to the one that is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. He said that he would bring peace, and through the death of his body, he brought victory. That's a crazy thing to think about. You think that the Jews thought, and all those that when they crucified him, they thought, we won! We did it! We killed him! He's dead! No, that was surely not the end. We are victorious because of the death of our risen Savior. He died, I believe, to show his humanity, and he risen to show that he was God Almighty, that he was Emmanuel, God with us. How much more can we ask for than having God with us? He's with us from his birth, his resurrection, and they couldn't see him. Couldn't see him, and he was standing right in front of them. Think about that. They even ask when he enters in the triumphant entry, who is this? Who is this? And they're saying, Hosanna, and then putting the palms at his feet as it would be like a victory. Because that's what that was. Kings would come into the city and they would do that to the kings. And that was a victory, the triumphant entry. There was victory in what he was going to do. He was going to walk in there and he did not fear it. He knew for the joy that was set before him, brothers and sisters. He knew what had to be done. He knew what had to be done. And he did it for a wretch like me. He did it because God loved the world. Think about how wicked the world is. Romans chapter 3, it tells me that none are good, that there's nothing but wickedness flowing out of the hearts of man. Desires and lusts of the flesh, the things that we want, more, more, more. America, we're some of the worst about consuming. We like to consume. They call us the consumer nation now. And we want more and more. We need to set aside more of that and want more of Him. That's what we need. We want to see repentance within our congregations. We need more of Him every day of our lives. It's not just on Sunday. Every day. Every day. We need Jesus. I can preach to you a sermon about salvation and about how we believe in salvation. But most of the children that are here, they've been taught that if the Lord tugs on their heart, that they'll come and seek the Lord. Most of the people, they are taught that in our churches. We need to think more also about adorning the Savior that gives the salvation. We need to stop worshiping. I'm just going to say it tonight. We need to stop worshiping the lost. We need to worship the true and risen Savior and know where the saving comes from. Know where the prosperity of soul winning comes from is from Christ. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. I've been fishing and I've not caught a lot sometimes. We got to have the right bait. Christ is everything. He is the all in all in our lives, and He should be. We should be consumed with Him. We should be utterly consumed with the presence of God in our lives. And we should say, Hosanna, when we're in need. Oh, please, Lord, save me from my sins that I still desire sometimes to do because of the flesh that comes out in me. Destroy it, Lord. He told him that he was going to destroy the temple. And in 3 days, he'd raise it up, didn't he? They were so confused about that. Oh, it took us 46 years to build this thing. What are you talking about? You're going to rebuild it in 3 days? No, he was talking about his physical body. He was going to die, and then he was going to rise again and live. And he gave me that one day through the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed by the salvation of God. It's His salvation. And so we should adorn Him with our praises tonight. I want to encourage you to praise God. You wonder sometimes, like, why is it so amazing in Belize? Or why is it so amazing in Africa? Or why is this happening in Guatemala? And I'd say many of it is, you know, I think about our song service, as Brother Brad mentioned. I can tell you that when I'm in Belize, we take songs and almost every single song we sing is all about Jesus. I mean that. And I don't conduct the service and say, well, we need to sing this one, because it's about Jesus. No, they just pick songs and it's about Jesus. I don't care about the mansion in the heaven. I care about Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. That's what this whole book is geared towards, is Jesus Christ. If I got Jesus, I got it all. I got every pleasure, every possession, and all the power in Christ. I've got it all. You know, this week these lessons have been rich. And many of them, as I look at it, they were a lot about victory in Jesus. Victory in Him. How much sweeter is the victory? Oh, when the carcass of that lion had honey in there. How much sweeter are the victories when they're harder, when we got to get down on our knees more and praise Him more and see how little we are. We are nothing without Him. I could give you the greatest doctrinal speech and all these things, but without him up here with me, I am nothing. I am a nobody. Just trying to tell everybody about my Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, my King. Oh, Hosanna in the highest today. Oh, doesn't your soul just yearn to just praise him? Doesn't it, you think about heaven and you think about wanting to be up there and all you're going to do is praise him? We can do that right here. We can sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what it's about. You must be obedient. Oh, I will follow, Lord, where you lead me. I will follow where you lead me, Lord. And people are going to think you're crazy. People are going to think you're wrong. People are going to think all kinds of things. Oh, can you imagine what they thought of all the apostles? It shows in there. You know, some of them left Jesus. And they asked, Jesus asked, and Peter, and he said, are you going to leave me too? And he said, no, you've got the words of eternal life. You have everything that we need. He has it all, brothers and sisters. He is it all. There's nothing more. He is the greatest thing. And you know what? I took that for granted for many years. Too many years, I'm ashamed to say how for granted I took that. I am utterly ashamed. It was time maybe I looked like I was serving God. Maybe I looked like I was doing that. Ever feel that way? He doesn't want your lip service. He wants your heart. You know, I've thought about that scripture where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and he'll add all these other things unto you. I think those things that he adds unto you changes when you seek the kingdom of heaven. As I know for me, it's changed. Oh, it's changed. Oh, it's changed for me. Oh, it's changed. I don't desire the things that I once did. And I'm not telling you that to boast tonight, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you that because Christ delivered me. Because he showed me much better things that fill me and give me pleasure in this life. And you know what? Oh, sometimes he adds a little extra on top. And it's like, why, Lord? Why'd you do that? Why? The world's never going to understand us. We are just pilgrims passing through this land. Our citizenship is not here. That's one thing I can tell you. Our citizenship is in heaven with our brother Jesus Christ, joint heirs. He's our King, our Savior, our friend, our brother. He's all of these things. And God, the Holy Spirit, everything. As we move forward in the service tonight, it doesn't, as Brother Brad said, always have to be some outward appearance of worshiping God. God knows the hearts of man. He's the discerner of hearts. That's what he discerns by. I urge you, praise him. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy. They searched and they wept because they found no one. And they said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, he prevailed. He prevailed and there's victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, I'm thankful for victory in my Lord tonight. Brother Brad, I'll turn the service back over to you.
I can always endorse a Christ-exalting message. Amen. Thankful for the message tonight. Let's all stand and do what we were just instructed to do. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Brother Aaron, if you'd get for us a song, wherever you're at, with James. And we want you to be prayerful about what the Lord would have us to do tonight and how we could worship Him. Let's all stand and sing.